morning my topic is strengthening our serve. And if we have the pictures up, our first thought was about different ways we might think of serving. The obvious one this week is those tennis fans. It's a quick lob over the tennis net. I can't get my head together. But that's only one particular sort of serve. And actually this morning, I'm really not going to focus on that. Although it's actually interesting because lots of things I'm going to talk about, the opposite is true in tennis serving. You'll perhaps see as we go along. But there we've got serving our country, we've got serving food, we've got serving the community in various different ways. I don't know what's hiding underneath the... Britain Can Deliver is the underneath the David Cameron. I thought it was hiding another picture. And those are some of the things we think about. So, but alongside that, I just want you to have those things in mind, but put them aside at the same time as we look at what the Bible says about serving. Because some of those things come under some of the ways the Bible talks about serving, but I'm not really focusing necessarily on those things, but they might come in there. So if you can catch that, hold that, but put it aside. I don't know if that's too difficult for a hot Sunday morning. But anyway, so as I started to think about strengthening our serve, I started with the thought of, well, what is serving about? And I looked at in the Bible, and I began to look at where it's talked about serving. And I actually discovered that they talked about, there's four different words used for serving, and I'm not going to try and pronounce them. The scholars amongst you can do that, but we will put them up if Joel can find the right slide. I'll just tell you what the meaning is. And the first one is about serving and tilling, and that's about land. It's about the physical stuff of serving. The next one is to be a slave or to be a servant. That's sort of the person, if you like. Another one is to be attendant to, that is a wait upon. And I guess we might think of that one particularly in terms of serving food or drink or whatever, or perhaps a butler I thought of, although there aren't many butlers about, or we don't sort of talk about butlers now, do we? But many of us watch films that there's a butler in it, don't we? And their job is to serve the household. And the last one is to minister to, and to minister to God, and that is specifically our service to God as opposed to our service to one another. So that sort of gives you a bit of a backdrop to what we might talk about, because we can serve in all sorts of different ways and sort of come at it slightly differently. But all actually mean the same thing. We're giving something to somebody else. We're not thinking about ourselves. And I think if you can keep that in mind, that's really important. I then thought about, well, why do we serve? Because in a bit, Matt will talk about some of the places we might be able to serve within church. But I sort of go, well, why should we do it? And I'm not going to talk about those particular things, but I just began to think about what are the reasons I serve, we serve, in church, out of church, whatever. And these are the things I came up with. And I guess you might come up with some others, so it's not inclusive at all. It's just my particular five today. First one I came up with, the first thing is God asks us to serve. And I think that's the most important thing. Jesus actually said when he was in the wilderness, he turned to the devil and said, "You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And he was speaking to him because the devil was asking him to serve him and not God. And Jesus was going, "No, the most important thing is I have to serve God and worship him." I think likewise, that's a good model to follow. Going back into the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, when Moses was leading the Israelites through the wilderness and into the promised land, this is what was said to the Israelites. It says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul." And so there we have it. It wasn't just Jesus saying we need to serve, but actually God was saying to the Israelites, you need to serve. A more specific one is in Chronicles, where Solomon, who was a an important man in that time, he said to God, you know, what's important? And God turns around to him and says, Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve that God with your whole heart, a willing mind, for the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him, and if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. But there in the middle of it, an important part of it is to worship and serve him. The next reason I came up with it is we are following Jesus, and he came to serve. Got a couple of scriptures there just to show that. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it's interesting that I think I put on there the waited upon. That serve is about being waited upon. Jesus didn't come to be waited upon, but to wait upon other people. So that for me was quite a key verse when I'm thinking about whether I serve or not and how do I serve. And then another one which Jesus said was about the greatest among you will be your servant. And he was talking about somebody was asking him who was the most important, you know, and I'm going to be the greatest and everybody should serve me because I'm the greatest. He said, no, the greatest people are those that serve. Again, I think I rest my case. Another reason I think that we should serve, this verse hasn't actually got service in it, but for me it's part of serving. When Jesus said about what was the greatest commandment he gave, and it was, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important, love your neighbour as yourself. Well, we can't love our neighbours without putting them first, and therefore there's a serving element comes into that love for me. Another important part is we are the body of Christ, and in Corinthians it says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body, so it's the whole body, so that is the body of Christ, and all of you are together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And we know, don't we, that in our human bodies that each bit needs to function with the other bit. The hand can't function without an arm. The eye can't function without the brain. It's, you know, you can go on, can't you? You can fix it. And we know that actually if one part of us is not working as it should, actually it causes a knock-on effect to the rest of our bodies. Do we need to... I think that's upstairs, isn't it? I'll carry on and Claire can tell us if we need to evacuate. We know, don't we, that one part affects the other. So if we're not doing that... And actually, when we come to serving, one of the things about serving is about putting other people first and therefore looking after the body, if you like. So if I'm not serving Matt, he's having to do the work I do. That's putting extra work on him. So... if you like, you know, when Jeff's kidney doesn't work, the rest of his body doesn't work. When his kidney is working, if in his case at the moment dialysis, actually the rest of his body is now functioning much better because something else is doing the work. And so if we're serving, we need to have that, remember that if I'm not going to bother to serve today, this week, this month, whatever, I'm actually putting weight onto somebody else that actually causes the body to be out of sync. Another reason for this, and I haven't got a scripture for this because I wasn't clever enough to I haven't got time to go and find it, but we are part of the church. And I heard somebody talking last year about the church and the fact that the word in the biblical word church is the best way to describe it is that house, a household, a bit like we might say about a stately home perhaps, where there's a family who live in it, but there's actually a household of people who make that house function. So you've got the butler and the cook and the gardener and the all the different people. And actually that's a bit like us as church, except not the hierarchy. So you take the hierarchy out, but actually in order for that place to function, all those different parts need to be in there. And again, like with the body, it's just another part of being the body of Christ. It's another picture that if we're not all playing our part, then things don't happen. Grass doesn't get mown, vegetables don't get peeled, beds don't get made or whatever it is in that household. So that's another thought. And my last thought for this particular bit was that we are created for good works. In Ephesians it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I think those good things include serving others. And interesting, the Message puts it this way, that Ephesians passage. He says, he creates each of us by Jesus Christ to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. That's the Message, not me. But I like it. But the last bit that really, I suppose, surprised me, but actually encouraged me more than all the others, was almost the first time I found the word serve in the Bible was in Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible. And I'll read the verse and then I'll say what I think. Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. And didn't think anything particularly of it, but until I looked at the other translations, and the other translations that I found are there, you'll see, translated that word serve me faithfully a little bit differently. If you obey me, walk before me, live in constant awareness that I'm always with you, live entirely before me, live to the hilt. I like that one. And as I read that, I thought, that gives me a bigger framework, if you like, to serve. Because I think when we started about serving, we're doing things for other people, it's hard work, whatever. But actually this sort of serving to me says, this is about my life, this is about who I am, this is about going about business with an attitude of mind rather than about doing and doing and doing. Because the difficulty is, when we get talking about serving, we can often talk about doing and forget that actually the attitude behind it and is more important. And actually the way we live, if you like, serving God is about our whole life. It's not about whether I've done the right thing for Matt or for Phil or for whatever. It's about, am I doing, living the right way for God? So that for me was really, really helpful. And there was a little bit in the commentary that said that this phrase about serving me faithfully reflect a serving due to a king. And I thought that was just so nice, that it wasn't just any old service. It was special service. And Henry's commentary, for any of those who like these things, says, this is what requires of us in reference to this serving me faithfully. It says, is to set God always before us and to think, speak, act in everything as those that are always under his eye. Is to have a constant regard to his word as our rule, and to his glory as our end in all our actions, and to be continually in his fear. I just found that helpful again. Colossians puts it perhaps a little bit more into our language, perhaps. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Links back well with what Matt read last week in Deuteronomy, which he read, stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you'll live long and prosperous lives in the land you're about to enter and occupy. So some good stuff there, isn't it? So perhaps, where do we serve? Can we have the circles one up, Joel? She isn't in order, I don't think. I think you've got the message that I think service is important. God thinks service is important. The Bible's full of encouragements, instructions to serve. But actually, where do we serve? And Matt did a nice little circle thing that I've borrowed, because it's great. Because although Matt's going to talk very much about our service in church in a little while, in a minute or two, actually, we serve wherever we are, in whatever capacity we are, whoever we are with, in my view. And it doesn't matter whether you're at work, just doing a great job in your work, or whether you're looking after your neighbour by taking a parcel in there. There's something about all those different things that strengthen our serve and do that. And actually, as I was praying this week, I was really sensing that, and this is more about the church bit, that as I'm talking about this serving, and Matt talks about it in a bit, that God's asking us to, trying to think of the word I was thinking of, I was going to say up our level of service. And not just because Matt's going to present a lot of things, but actually because he's asking more of us, and because more is required as we move forward. Particularly in terms of, we're looking at a new building, and already there's a number of people working extremely hard to do some of the background stuff, to investigate things, to set policies in place, to investigate, I don't know, because I'm not involved in it, but I live with one who does, and I know that he's got his head buried in papers and the computer and the phone and meetings far too much of the time. But actually, most of us go, well, I couldn't do that. And I guess that is the truth, that most of us, I haven't got that sort of brain, I haven't got that inclination, whatever. But you know, I remembered this morning, a number of years ago, as a church, we did an evangelistic fortnight called Impact 95. Those who have been here a long time will remember it. And I was part of the admin team for that. And I got four small children, and that was a lot of extra work on top of that. And one lady in the church at the time said to me, look, I can't do the things you're doing. I haven't got a lot of time to help you because she worked. But she says, I will do your ironing every week. And she came and she took my ironing every week and did it. And I just remembered that this morning, because actually that lifted one job off my shoulders every week. That meant that either I could do some of the admin when I should have been ironing, or actually I could just sit sometimes and have time with Simon. And I just think there's something of that nature, that maybe you go, I can't do that, but maybe there's something I can do that will release a job off somebody's plate, that either then they can go and do another job for somebody else, or actually, you know, there's just a knock-on effect. Do you want to see it? I mean, I won't labour the point, but I felt like God was saying that it's time to step up. And maybe you don't do much serving within the church at the moment. Maybe you don't know what to do. But maybe it's time to seriously look at what you could do. Talk to people about what you could do. Maybe you do things already, but actually I hear God saying it's time to take on a new responsibility, to learn a new skill, to perhaps look at a new area, and just up what you do a little bit more. But I will put it in with a little proviso, because I've come to a bit later on where it says, if you have the gift of helping, and I'll show you where this verse is later, it says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And I think we recognise the fact that he doesn't give the same strength and energy to everybody for the same things. So whereas I'm saying this, and Matt will say it, you know, we're not saying you've all got to give 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that's ridiculous. We're asking that you give what you can and what God's given you. We also serve in ways that sometimes we don't even know. I was thinking about what Jesus said when he was separating out the sheep and the goats, I think. Sorry, my brain's just, you forget these things. And he says to people, sorry, I'll just find it, and then I haven't got all the verses before it. Separating out sheep and goats, and he was going, some of you have done well and some of you haven't done so well. And he says this, then the king says to those on the right, come on, come here, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you've invited me into your home. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. When I was sick, you cared for me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the retort was, those people went, when did I do that? I don't remember doing that. But he says, well, when you did it to a stranger, you did it to me. And I think lots of, you know, we were talking about acts of kindness a few weeks ago. actually many of our acts of kindness to people we don't know or people we only know a little bit actually are really key in God's eyes, and we sometimes overlook them and think, oh, that was nothing. I'll also tell you something else that I've learned, that in terms of that sort of thing, that I do something for somebody, and for me it's a very little small thing, but when you give it, I've noticed it somehow expands as you give it. I don't know if you've experienced that. You do, I don't know, make a cake for somebody, because that's what I don't do it so much now, Heather does it, but I've made cakes in the past, given it to somebody, and they're quite overwhelmed by the fact you've thought about them, you've taken time out to make something for them, you've gone round to give it to them, and they've gone, wow, and you go, it's only a cake. I've had that so many times, and I stand there sometimes and go, well, what was that all about? And I think it is about this, doing things, putting yourself second, giving something to somebody else, that actually when it was received, it's another good reason to serve, really, because actually you can do far more than you think you can do and impact far more by those little things that we would overlook and just nothing them. And I've learned to not go, oh, it was nothing. I'll go, oh, I'm glad you appreciated that. Not because I want to big myself up, because actually I go, no, I want to be able to acknowledge that it has been a real blessing to somebody else. I want to finish what I'm doing and then pass on to Matt with 10 things to strengthen your serve. I'll do them very quickly and you can go away and think about them. Have an attitude like Jesus. In Philippians, one of the Paul's letters to the people in Philippi, says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. And he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So if we have the same attitude as Jesus, he gave up his divine privileges. Well, we haven't got any divine privileges to give up, so we can't actually do that bit, but we can give up our privileges, can't we? He took the humble position of a slave. Well, we can do that. We can put ourselves in a position of serving. And he humbled himself in obedience to God. Really key. We can be motivated. We need to be motivated by love. There's so many scriptures. I could have put 20 million here. I'll leave you to go away and find them, because there's love all the way through. And if we are not motivated by love, then we're not going to do a very good job. Use what's in your hand. I know when I first started to do serving, I said to Graham, I said, I've got a bit more time on my hands. I can post letters, make phone calls to remind people of things, and I can photocopy. And I'd like to do that for you so that you don't have to do those things. And that's what I did for a while. And I don't know how much help that was to him, because actually I used to go a couple of mornings a week and say, have you got anything I can do? And inevitably we'd have half an hour chatting over either what he was giving me to do or about other things, because he hadn't got anything to give me to do. So the amount of stuff I took away probably didn't really benefit him time wise because I spent time in his house. But as a result of that, I'm doing what I'm doing now, because it grew and I just began to serve more. Or he would say, oh, I wonder if you could do this. Actually, he and Steve, another guy, taught me how to use the computer in order that I could do more things. So, you know, all sorts of things snowballed from that little moment of I can only do, or I could see I could do this little bit. And I think for all of you, there's things you've got in your hands that you could use, just we don't always notice it, because perhaps like when I made my cake, it's what I do, it's a little thing, it's not much use. So start thinking about that. And this is this verse that I said before about use your strength and energy that God has given you. In Peter it says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Number five, I don't want to put there. Be enthusiastic. I've got a smile on this one. Ephesians 5, the message says, servants, so that's all of us, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always have an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do, and work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter what happens no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. So do it well. Be generous. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. God loves a cheerful giver. And then Philippians 2, which is the bit before, we talked about the attitude of Jesus. There's loads in here, so I'm just going to read the verses and then you'll see the last four, I think, and coming in there. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in his spirit? Are your hearts tender and passionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish and don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your interests, but take an interest in others too. And I was reminded with all those things of a few weeks ago, Claire told us about Walt Disney, who said there were three types of people in this world. I don't know if you remember this, there were the well poisoners, those who love to discourage, who want to tell you where you failed. There was the lawnmowers, who are nice people, who do things well, but think about themselves only. And then there's the life enhancers, those who are quick to reach out, live with their eyes and hearts open, look to bless and lift up others and enrich them. And I think that's where we need to be. And the really good thing is that there is a reward for those of us who serve. The bit where it says in Colossians, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for other people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. There's lots and lots of places again where it says if you serve, if you put yourself out for God, there's a reward. And so I'd encourage you to think about how you serve, where you serve, who you serve, particularly your attitude to serving, and do it whenever you have the opportunity, and just give away some good things. Over to Matt.
Brilliant. Why don't we thank Janet? Yeah. And if that's not what it's about. But actually what we're saying is, and actually one of the reasons why I wanted to give us an opportunity to think about some of these things is actually there's often some godly biblical principles that we want to make sure we've got in our life. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. Those of you who are part of Ashwood Church, we are a serving church. There's no question about it. It's amazing. So grateful. People arrive and they say to us, wow, look at all these people who are doing stuff to serve and who are serving in all kinds of different ways across the church. And I go, yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? And I kind of go, you know, Ashwood, Team Ashwood, high five. You all do as well, I know, I can see that. And so actually, this morning, we are talking about something because we want to celebrate something that's already there. But of course, all the things we're thinking about this year, we believe that God's putting in front of us is a mandate to strengthen all that we do. And one of the questions that people often say to us, especially people who are new, they say, well, what can I do? Because the danger is that people look around and they see this wonderful army of people who are serving in all kinds of different ways, and they go, "Oh, there's nothing. There's nothing that I could do. What could I do?" Well, I'm going to answer that question for you this morning in just a few ways. And actually, the truth is, as I sat down to think about this, and we talked about it together, a number of us, we come up with this huge, great big list, which does two things for me. One is it says it's really encouraging all the opportunities that there are within Ashwood to serve. The other is, if all these opportunities didn't exist, we wouldn't have this huge list of things that are currently happening right now. So for me, it's just a huge encouragement, and also it's an opportunity as well. And you know, with a lot of these things that we talk about in church and as part of life groups and serving within the church, there's often both a spiritual dimension, which is why I think Janet's done a great job of reminding us. Some of us have been around a long time. You know, because you hear something that you know already on a Sunday morning, that doesn't make it any less valid, does it? Actually, sometimes it's a really helpful reminder, because many of us, as we grow older, we become more familiar. It's easy for us to just kind of forget some of the things about the reasons why we do what we do. So for me this morning, hearing Janet speak about those things, and of course one of the reasons why I asked Janet to speak about serving is those of you who know Simon and Janet, and I could go around the whole room, and I'm not going to do that because it would take too long, but Simon and Janet just serve the church in so many different ways, giving up so much of their time to serve us and to serve me and to serve you. And I don't know about you, but I'm really, really super grateful for that. So, very quickly, not going into any detail, I'm answering the question, what are the things that we could get involved in terms of serving in Ashwood? And some of you who are guests this morning, then hopefully you've enjoyed and been encouraged by what we've talked about, and hopefully it's helpful to you, interesting to you. Of course, what I'm putting before people here are ideas and things and opportunities that if you consider yourself part of Ashwood Church, that you might go, oh, actually, yeah, I could do that. Oh, I'd love to help with that. And it's worth saying that some of the things on the list, of course, require certain skills. So it's not going to be appropriate for all of us to offer to do some of these things and get involved. And sometimes, actually, you know, no one would be blessed if I played the drums on a Sunday morning. Do you know, that's just, as Janet says, the whole thing about the body. I might actually be better than some of you even. That's possible, I don't know. But there's no point talking about that, because it's not appropriate for all of us to do all things. And some of the things on the list obviously require some skills, and often will obviously help people and train people, but some things aren't appropriate. And also, as Janet says, we do things with the energy and the strength that we've got. So actually, at times, you know, I'm very grateful that there's people who will actually do some practical stuff and shift washing machines. For some of us, if we put our signing up to shift washing machines, that's not something that we can all do. But you get the point. It's exactly what Janet was saying as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this list, and who you can, because the second question is, okay, Matt, I've seen stuff on there, what can I do, who do I contact? Well, we just felt it was too much information to be throwing it all up here on the screen this morning. We're going to put it all in Ashwood News so that you can have a think, but then you can digest it, get hold of Ashwood News, which is out next week, and that's where we'll put all the kind of contact details. But just some of the things, the opportunities where people can be involved. We have a great kids zone teams and who help with our young people, and there's opportunities to serve in those areas. We've already got a great team of helping, but actually, and the team is huge, I can't remember how many people are on it, but even when that team gets together, they're saying, who else could help? So even these things which are really strong, actually we can sometimes do things to strengthen. Some of these things are things that happen on Sundays, but there's a whole mixture across the church. You know that there's so many things that we want to do as church which are not just Sunday morning activities. So some of you heard us talk about Food Bank, which we're doing within partnership with Kirkby Churches Together. On Tuesdays, there's involvement, there's opportunities to serve there, talking to people, helping provide food parcels. I'm going to resist the temptation to go into too much detail. There's a gazoo team. This is an event which happens once a half term, I think. Yep, once every half term, 5 to 11 year olds. It's crazy fun for kids, it's noisy, and they're always looking for people who can help. Worship team, we have a fantastic worship team, don't we? And again, it's a strong team, but we're often looking for people who might be able to help in certain areas. Some of these things aren't easy or straightforward, and again, it's not appropriate for everyone, but if you'd like to have a think about that, then we'll put you in touch with the people you can talk to. On a Sunday morning, it's the worship team, but there's other people involved in packing everything away. If you said, actually what we have is a rota, so if you said, actually I can't do that every week, but I could do it every 6 or 7 weeks, then we can just build and grow a really strong team to help us to do that. If you'd like to, you can obviously join in. Things like helping out, there's other things within the worship team as well. Many people are involved in our Sunday morning welcome team, opportunities to serve there. I just put down some of the things that we, you know, kind of, if this is you, or things that you would recognise as being part of your makeup. Sunday hospitality team, how many people like tea and coffee at the end of our meetings. Oh, good. We don't need to do it anymore. There's only three people. Oh, no. No, it's a really important part of our welcome. Welcome is so important to us. And in a few moments' time, the team who is involved today will help to serve us in the area of hospitality. You know, hospitality is actually different to just pouring coffee in a cup, isn't it? Coffee in a cup is part of it. Hospitality is bigger than that, which is why we call it a hospitality team. And our life groups help us to facilitate that. So if you want to get involved, then often it's a case of having a chat with your life group lead and finding out next time that you can serve. We have a detached youth work team that goes on, and you pick up the things like this from time to time. Some of these things aren't, they're not noticeable on a Sunday morning because, as I say, they're outside of Sunday. But there's a great team of people. If you'd like to be involved in spending time with young people on the Coxmoor estate, then we'll give you the information who you can talk to. Who likes cleaning? Come on, let's get it out there. Who likes cleaning? Everybody, who likes cleaning? Cheryl, that's great. Cheryl, if you just stand up for a moment. Anyone else like cleaning? Who likes cleaning? Yeah, Iris likes cleaning. It's funny because with the Ashwood Centre, it's one of those buildings, it's unusual, I know, but the Ashwood Centre sometimes needs cleaning. I don't know how it happens. People somehow make a mess. Or even if you don't make a mess, it gets messy. Is that a miracle? I don't know. But I'm here with a bit of a personal challenge. One of the things that you'll know, we talk about our journey, looking for a new home for Ashwood. Well, a new building is going to require cleaning. Ashwood Centre requires some cleaning. At the moment, it does happen, but it's a limited number of people who are able to get involved in that. I've set myself a bit of a personal target. I'd like to be able to say to the Ashwood Centre, when I rock up at its gates, I'd like to say, Ashwood Centre, good news, I have a bunch of willing volunteers who are happy to come and clean you. That's what I want to say to the Ashwood Centre. And actually, it's one of those things, well, a lot of these things, the bigger the team, the less is actually required. And some of our teams are fantastic because they, you know, you only need to do something once every 10 weeks or something like that. It's five times a year, bit of cleaning. And I wonder whether we could facilitate that between us. And to be honest, part of my eye is on a new home for Ashwood Church, because the likelihood is that this is going to increase rather than decrease. So part of my thinking is, well, let's prepare the ground, let's get ready a little bit, let's do some of the things in advance. What I'm really looking for is probably 10 pairs of people. It doesn't have to be couples. You could be sat next to someone this morning. You look at them, you think they're going to be a pretty good cleaner. I could just tag along with them. It could be that you love cleaning. Do you know what? This is one of the ones where I'm willing to take people who don't even enjoy cleaning. You know, some of them we can't lower the bar, but this one, I wonder whether there's a training opportunity for some of us. And there are people who already do it. That's, you know, yeah, there's eight people or something like that. It'd just be really great to just spread that load. What does it involve? Not a great deal. How long does it take? An hour, a couple of hours a week. And there are people who do it, as I say, but it'd just be great. If you want to do that, just come and stand here at the front. No, we're not going to do it like that. We're not going to do it like that this morning. But that is serious. Would it be possible for five times a year, for 1.5 hour slot, for us to do that between us? I know what you're thinking, Matt. That is easy. I know it is too. Administration, of course. One of the things that if we want to be a healthy church, we also want healthy administration. So grateful for people doing stuff behind the scenes. There's some stuff that needs doing in terms of administration. So the trustees often looking for people who might be willing to join them. Again, it's not appropriate for everybody, but looking to grow and strengthen the trustee team. You know, if we've got, like I say, healthy, we want to be healthy everywhere in administration. If our administration is healthy, that has a knock-on effect in all kinds of other ways as well. Working with young people, you'll know that we have loads of young people. It's exciting every week. Children and young people as well. And there's stuff that we could you could really help come alongside. There's some of the ideas, some of the things there. Toddler group as well. Many of you are involved in Seesaw. Some of you will have never heard of Seesaw. Tuesday and Friday, it's in here. There's things that we could practically do to be involved in that. And then my final slide is a number of teams. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but I don't know about you, I'm getting exhausted, so we're going to stop in a moment. But there are a number of teams that facilitate things within church. So catering and hospitality, I know that there's people around who go, oh, I'd love to do that. So not just on Sundays, but in other events as well, particularly around Christmas time. Often there's opportunities to serve in those kind of areas. We've already talked about Heaven Sent this morning. Of course, there's a lot of work. Kirsty does so much work in getting Heaven Sent, and the workload increases as there's extra red tape and bureaucracy stuff that we have to do. And you'll be pleased to know that we're ticking all of those boxes, or doing our best to tick as many of them as we can. And I think they're pretty much all ticked now. But there's loads of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. But of course, we talked about it already. There's still opportunities, even right this morning, if you want to get involved this week. And of course, Heaven Sent, if you don't know, is every night this week. It's between 7 and 9, but start setting up at 6. You could say, oh, perhaps I could set up, but I can't pack down. I can pack down, but I can't set up. Realise, again, this isn't not everyone can do this. People are work and all that kind of thing. But between us, the great thing is we don't need everybody doing everything. We just need some people doing some things, don't we? That's the way it works. And then next Saturday as well, at the end of Heaven Sent, we talk about as well Summer Fun Day. Schools work team, one of the things that we like to do as church, and again, depends how many people are available, is to go into some of the schools, take assemblies, do road shows. And you know, the schools around us are really open for this. They really value it. If we can do that, it's brilliant. This is a specific one. In a few weeks' time, there's a group of people who are looking to host a summer holiday club. This would be new. It'd be on the Coxmoor estate. If you'd like to get involved in that, we'll give you the information very soon next week in Ashwood News. And I know there's already people excited who'd love to get involved in that. And the final one, this is just often we have requests for people who are saying, oh, that there's someone next door to me with a real need, practical stuff, gardening, painting, DIY. And I know there's people in Ashwood who would not be very helpful on those days, but there are also some people who would be extremely helpful. And sometimes just for us to know, oh, listen, just give me a call, give me a shout, I can paint, I can drill, I can garden, and it's the area that actually I'd love to be able to serve. Well, sometimes it would just be helpful to know who some of those people are. If that's you, then please get in touch with us. Let us know. We're going to pray. We'll stand together, shall we? Why don't we stand together? And just as we finish, can I just underline something? As I was praying and thinking this morning, and particularly on the whole area of serving, and aware that Heaven Sent coming up this week, one of the things that is really key and important to us, and Janet mentioned it, is that actually we remind ourselves the reason, our motivation for why we do what we do is because, first and foremost, we've decided we want to serve God. That's the bottom line. We've decided that as church, those of us who are part of Ashwood Church, we decided that we're going to serve God, serve his kingdom, do the very best that we can in all that we do. And of course, the knock-on effect of that is that actually we seek to serve like Jesus. And, you know, on a Sunday morning, it's very nice, and we talk about love, and, you know, we can perhaps pat each other on the back and give everyone an arm around the shoulder and a loving embrace. See some of those taking place even now. It's very moving. But of course, the times when you really need to love someone, as Johnny gave his example this morning, when he's putting a marquee up and you're a bit cheesed off on a Thursday night, those are the more difficult times to love. And I'm sure there's many of us around who are going to help Johnny not to punch someone in the face. His example, and of course he wouldn't do that, but that's the practical outworking of some of this stuff, isn't it? That actually we choose to love one another, serve and support one another. And I've been around times I've been around enough to see that actually the times when we're serving, that actually this is where the churchy stuff gets a little bit dirty and messy, isn't it? And we have to learn sometimes to get over ourselves. Make sure that we have this positive attitude like Jesus, and And actually, that is sometimes the most powerful thing that people see in us. So I'm praying this morning. Yes, there's practical, messy, hands-on stuff. Yes, there's a huge spiritual dimension. But both of them kind of mingle together. So actually, we get the work done, but we make spiritually such a powerful impact. There's something released in the spirit as we serve and as we love one another. So I'm not sure we always quite get it, but actually, when we are doing the visuals, helping with the young people, taking drinks for people, gardening, cleaning, whatever we're doing, actually there's a spiritual byproduct, or perhaps not a byproduct, but it's probably one of the core things that actually takes place. Opportunities that we have to practically serve one another and serve God and serve His kingdom.